Blog Talk Radio.
Yeehaw! Man, it's the southern version of Eerie House. Old time radio. Yeehaw!
I thought that was the Western. I'm on the wrong channel. I thought that was the Western version.
Is it West?
Man, we all are doing our southern version of family reunion here at Eerie House Radio. I'm Cousin Dale. You're from Eerie. I'm from somewhere. Well, here along with.
I'm Cousin Dave from somewhere else.
And you do realize if it's southern enough, then, you know, every family reunion is a dating opportunity. It is I, gotta go, blah, blah, to you all. All right.
That's yes, right. We're dedicating this show to Uncle Dad and Auntie Mom.
Oh, might help if I got on the website you guys are on there, maybe.
Yeah, because they're asking for you.
Are they?
Canceled
Where's Scar? We hear him. Yeah, okay. Reunion weekend.
What is he all? Reunion weekend. Reunion stories, and we're gonna go start out light and get darker and darker
and darker
and darker.
And darker.
Yeah. Well, it's subject matter.
Yes, that is crazy. Someone actually asked, "Where's Gar?" I don't know where Gar is. I don't beat me. I
see him now. There is Gar. I see him.
Yes.
He's playing in the moat.
Hello. Good old Bubba. Okay, there
yep,
we go.
And Rob Smith is with us, and
well, that guy.
And Gar underscore the underscore go. Oh, that's you.
Oh,
and
that guy? Yeah.
Okay. You drowning?
Huh? No, we're swimming in the moat.
Yes.
The moat of family members.
And crocodiles,
ah,
I would
yes.
imagine.
Yeah, that too. Go Gators. Go where? I have no idea. But go! Negity, nebity.
Go. First time on the
all
channel.
All about reunions.
Yeah, first time on the channel. Right there, couple next door.
I think we may have had one holiday one. But, yeah, it's a lot. You know, most people never really seem to hear of it. But, you know, it's something that was around a 50-minute program. Actually kind of ran from... What was it? From on WGN Chicago with Mutual. It ran from 1953 to 1957. Then a jump board went over to CBS 1957 to 1960. And then ended up on the NBC's weekend program Monitor in 1963 doing like 4-minute block things, much like Fib McGee and Molly did up till about 1961 when Marion Molly passed away.
Wow. I think this wasn't on my radar because it's not scary enough. I have the crime things of Dick Tracy and Bus and Blackie
is,
and all that. And
it is significant because this was written and basically written, directed, and produced by Peg Lynch. Not very many women had a lot of say in old time radio or in the movies or in television. They just
or
were
anywhere.
Able to perform, but she even brought a series back in the 70s that she did very similar to this, another 15-minute thing out of New York with Robert Dryden, as we hear him a lot on the Mystery Theater and a lot of these old radio programs. Bob Dryden is just all over the place. But it's significant because these are shows created, written, and produced by her. And just something that women really, not many women really got a lot of chance to do that.
Dave, this particular program, The Couple Next Door, is it all centrist about family and events occurring between her husband?
Yeah,
and
it's pretty much The Couple Next Door. And then they brought in their aunt. And I'm trying to think. I think I remember a son in there, too, with some of the episodes and stuff. But, yeah, it's just an average couple, and weird things that kind of happen to the average couple in the average family that as they go on, that kind of a thing.
You guys ever been hoodwinked into going to a family reunion?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to slit my wrists.
It's far better to go ahead and just hunt your family members down and get rid of them than attend one of these reunion things.
As one tends to do. No, I've gone to them, not my family. Ugh, I know better than to do that. Dysfunction.
It's weird. A lot of dysfunction, but it's weird the diversity that can occur as you bring and add more people to the tribe, so to speak.
That is true. Different outlook on life, even though you have got, like, say, the same parents, the same general upbringing. I mean, you can't bring
you
two kids up.
Yes.
Exactly. But they can be radically different in temperament or otherwise.
It's almost like Shakespeare, the Romeo and Juliet thing of adding family members to sparring individuals where they don't like each other, but for very small reasons that get larger over time.
Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, and you think about, we kind of joking about the Southern stuff, but when you get down to the Hatfields and McCoys and things like that, they, you know, you get to them are feuds. And
yes.
When it comes down to it, they don't really know why they have this feud and why it really started or how it started in the first place. But the fact is, they just know they have to dislike this other family.
Right.
Because it's fun. It's tradition.
Yeah, as long as you can keep ducking the bullets, yes.
And that's shooting practice, yes.
And
that's
shooting
practice.
And some of that Southern stuff permeates. Do you remember the Mountain Dew commercials?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We had Hillbilly Juice.
Yahoo! Yeah, that whole.
Remember Hillbilly Juice?
Yes.
Yeah. You?
That too.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, Rob Smith Jr. talked about high school reunions. I went to one. I was at my fifth reunion, and everybody showed up there. We're not the people I expected to be there. And the guys that were there mostly were burnouts who flunked study hall. And they all had their own business. I'm thinking, what the heck? They all have their own. I found out later that their own business was a month before the reunion, they went out and got themselves a tow truck. So they had their own business. And a month after the reunion, they lost their tow truck because they hadn't paid anything on it.
No.
And I was going to go to my, would have been my, what, 30th, 40th? It can't be 40th, though. It must have been the 30th. And so they sent me a card and said, would you like to go? And I said, yeah, I'd like to go. And they said, okay, we'll let you know. And they never let me know. So.
Oh, my God, we weren't supposed to send one to Dave.
Oh no, not him.
That's horrible.
Actually, it was the 40th.
I went to my 10th and I never went to another one. It was like, oh my gosh, these people changed so much I don't even know them anymore. You know, the ones I had kept in touch with.
Go ahead.
It was depressing to see how many had passed away. And I'm talking only my 10th, so I'm like 28.
On your 10th? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, as much as it costs to go have a dinner for two, drag the wife along, why would I pay that much to go have dinner with people who didn't like me when I was in high school?
That's true. Yeah, there you go.
It helps to be popular somewhat. Not unpopular, I guess. You know, it depends.
I prefer being unpopular.
Or you run across and you create your own group of people that you identify with and same likes and all that stuff.
Yeah, my group is called the Outcasts.
Mine was more
I do remember, and there were some where it was like a birds out of the nest, but in the first years of graduating, you heard about these people that just got out of the nest, just got out of high school, and, you know, they got run over by a locomotive or something, you know, or fell out of a plane or, you know, odd things, you know, fell off the mountain.
Most of the ones that were deceased, in my case, were either auto accidents or drug issues.
I think the ones I know about, everyone was pushed.
Pushed.
Yeah, you know. Hey,
explain your whereabouts.
Yeah, come out here to the balcony. You got to see something.
Yeah,
what?
Do you see that way over there? No, keep it. Oh, there you go. Oh, wow. You know. So, yeah, pushed. I recall.
So, Jane, you didn't want to go out with me. Come over here to the window.
Oh, there you go.
Something like that. Yeah.
I think they pushed a boulder on after they fell.
I ranked that a 6.5.
Yeah, I give it a 4.
That dive.
You know, 4.
That dive.
Well,
yeah.
How about five with effort? How about that? You know, had to pick up that boulder to push after him, you know, to cover up that evidence.
Boulder.
You know, boulder. something.
I just happen to have a boulder out here on this balcony, yes.
I keep one in my pocket, you know.
Yeah, you never know. You must have been a Boy Scout.
Is that a boulder? Is that a boulder in your pocket, or were you just happy to see her, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't go there. Oh.
Or is that a medical dysfunction? What do you got going on there, man? Boulder. Is that a goiter? What is it? What do you got going
goiter.
On there?
Oh, my God. A goiter, really? Yeah. A goiter.
I think it's time to move along, Dale.
I think so.
Well, it is, you know, eerie.
Before I grow a goiter or something, I don't know.
Yeah, you never...
Good time. And I checked, by the way, dude. We have not done Couple Next Door yet. This will be.
Oh, okay, cool.
I ran through
cool.
a little search, and I could not find Couple Next Door played before on Erie House Radio. Later on, some Theater 5, and at last, the return of WCRS Radio Stage.
Studio X. Yeah, Radio Stage. Should be fun. We have an air date, I think, of this.
We do.
Yeah,
January 30th.
Couple Next Door. It's called Aunt Effie Organizes a Reunion.
And it aired January 30th, 1958.
According to some.
The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce. Sunday, hang an eviction notice on Old Man Trouble's door. Who can be blue when song stars Stu Foster and Lola Fisher and pianist Roger Williams will be getting together on CBS Radio's The Best in Music? Who can feel sad when most of these same stations will also bring you popular songs sung by Dick Hames and Teddy King on CBS Radio's delightful Sunday feature For You? Let both of these lighthearted musical programs brighten your day on Sunday.
Where are the car keys?
I don't know. You always ask me that, and you're the one who has the car most of the time.
I am always late to lodge meeting. I never...
I'll get it. On lodge nights, it seems to me to be much more sensible to stay downtown and have dinner instead of... Hello? Yes? Aunt Effie! Is that...
Aunt Effie?
You're here! In town?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Well, for good... Yes, I got your card. You said you were getting a ride over tomorrow. Uh-huh.
Oh, here are the car keys. Look, I'll be running along.
Yeah, hold on,
Aunt
Effie. She is down at the railroad station. Well, you'll have to go down and get her, dear.
Look, I am due at lodge meeting. I won't have time to go way down there and back home again.
Well,
tell her to take a taxi.
Well, she won't take a taxi. You know Aunt Effie. She wouldn't spend the money.
I'll pay for it.
She won't take a taxi.
Thought she was coming tomorrow.
Well, she was. She was getting a ride with Mr. Peterson, but he fell off a kiddie car or something and hurt his leg. So then she thought she'd take the bus, but the weatherman said more snow, so she hopped on the train.
What was a grown man doing on a kiddie car?
I don't know. Aunt Effie! He'll come down and get you, dear.
Ask her what that guy was doing on a kiddie car.
Aunt Effie? Yes, fine. Well, he'll be down as fast as he can, dear.
There's an old saying that money talks. Where Jack Benny is concerned, it laughs right out loud. Sunday, Jack learns that Mary Livingston has free tickets to the premiere of a Goldwyn movie. In his excitement, he suggests an after-theater supper with Mr. Goldwyn and learns too late that the check won't be on the house. Just for the fun of it, join us on CBS Radio Sunday as the Jack Benny Show comes your way on most of these same stations. And speaking of fun, here's Says Who with Henry Morgan and our Mitch Miller Show on Sunday, too. Says Who is the mystery voice guessing game. On Says Who this weekend, Joy Adams, Dagmar, Orson Bean, Hermione Gingold, and a famous mystery guest will all be on the panel. Sunday, CBS Radio's Mitch Miller Show invites you to meet popular theater personalities of London, Paris, and New York. Marcel Marceau, Siobhan McKenna, Ricardo Montalban, James Robertson Justice, and producer Gene Dalrymple will all be on the Mitch Miller Show to make it another gala evening on CBS Radio.
Well, here you are, Aunt Effie, safe and sound.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Aunt Effie.
Look, I've got to be running along. If you're still up when I get home.
Running along?
Yeah, I've got a lodge meeting, Aunt Effie.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear, she just got here. Maybe you could stick around a few minutes. Here, let me take your coat, Aunt Effie.
No, look, I've got to...
Well, the main reason I came was to discuss the plans with you.
Oh, plans for what?
Your grandmother's 75th birthday.
Oh.
Of course, that may not be as important as a lodge meeting, but...
Well, that isn't until March, Aunt Effie.
Plans have to be made. And nobody in this family seems to be making any. Everybody puts it off and puts it off.
Well, do they have to be made tonight? I mean, if the birthday isn't until March...
There are a million things to be done if we're going to have a family reunion.
Family reunion?
Certainly. Mother's going to want everyone there.
Well, yes, I suppose.
Letters should go off tomorrow if everybody's going to make plans to come. I hope Herbert comes in from California. Wilbert and Grace will certainly have to make plans to come all the way from Florida.
Uh-huh.
Now, where's my suitcase?
Oh, right here.
I wrote down some of the things I thought should be done.
Well, now, here, let me help you.
Now, actually, I thought we'd have the reunion at Edith's. She has the biggest house.
Uh-huh. Look,
I crocheted you some more pot holders, dear.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Effie.
And I knitted you a tie.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Effie.
Oh, that's all right. Put it on. Let me see how it looks on you. You can wear it to lodge meeting tonight.
Oh,
it's lovely. Nice, dear.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I just want to give you a rough idea of my plans so you can be thinking about them.
Uh-huh. You better take off your coat, dear. I think.
Yeah,
it won't take me more than 5 minutes to give you the rough outline. Now, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that if everybody arrived the night before, we could all gather at our house for breakfast so we could really celebrate the whole day.
Yes, well, of course, that means you have to find a place for everybody to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Well, we can just as well drive over early in the morning. We can get up at 6, can't we, dear?
Sure, I guess so. Look, it seems to me you girls don't need
me. I thought you two and Betsy would stay at Edith. Wilbur and Grace can have the other bedroom. Herbert and Jane can stay with Helen, and we can put the twins on the studio couch.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Fred can use that bed in the back bedroom. It isn't very comfortable, but just for one night.
Sure.
Then Ed and Phyllis can stay with Miss Hemlock across the street. I've asked her, and she said she'd love to have them. George said he had 4 army cots, and we can put those up.
My goodness, it seems like an awful nuisance.
Oh, I think it's exciting. Really, the whole family around.
Well,
everybody will sort of center at our place.
Uh-huh, sure.
Now, there'll be about 35 people, and that's for 3 meals.
35 people for 3 meals a day?
That's an awful lot of work, Aunt Effie, isn't it?
Oh, there'll be plenty of people to pitch in and help. Anyhow, here. I made a sort of chart of the sleeping arrangements. I don't know where to put Carl. He snores so.
Oh, well, that looks just fine, Aunt Effie. You did a marvelous job arranging all that. Congratulations. Look, I better be getting along now.
That's just the sleeping arrangements. Now, about food. Now, where's the paper I had that on?
By the way, Aunt Effie, what was that guy doing on a kiddie car?
What, dear? Oh, here we are.
Never mind that now, dear, if you want to get going.
Now, it was my feeling that everybody should share the expense.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, we certainly want to share, you know.
And I thought that the best thing would be for me to just go ahead and buy the food and then everybody pay me. What do you think?
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
Aunt
I do
Effie.
Too,
yeah,
Aunt Effie.
Fine.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Well, somebody has to do these
that's
things.
Right.
I do feel that I have a rather good sense of organization.
Oh, you certainly do. That's what you have. It's just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And family couldn't do without you.
Well, I'm good for something.
Oh,
you sure are. Well, if it's all settled, I'll be running along.
Well, that's just the food.
Oh, well, look,
I mean, as far as expense is concerned, but since I have only one oven, I felt that those who live nearby could perhaps bring a few things.
Oh, of course.
Well,
I'd be glad.
I put you down for dessert. Now,
uh-huh.
I thought if you could bring 2 chocolate cakes and 2 apple pies.
Oh, of course.
And
yes.
Helen is desserts, too, and Grace is vegetables, and then Edith and I will be turkeys.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Aunt Effie and Edith will cook turkeys.
I can't get 2 big turkeys in my oven.
No, I understand.
Oh,
I understand.
Well, more than I do. Look, I'm really no help here.
I feel the plan should have the approval of everyone in the family.
They do, mm-hmm. I'm sure. I go along with anything
that you... Now,
you keep
track of what you spend for the cakes and the pies, and then we will reimburse
you. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
That's nonsense.
Oh, if you pay us for the turkeys, then I feel you should be paid for the cakes and the pies.
Oh, no, now, look, we can certainly bring home some pies. Bring along some pies and cakes without
being paid
for it.
No, everybody shares alike.
No, well, okay, all right, that's fine. And I'd like to go over things in more detail, but since it's nearly 9 o'clock, if I'm going at all,
no,
I better... No,
I thought in the afternoon of that day we should drive over to Mound Prairie, where the old house stands that Mother was born in.
Oh, that would be
mm-hmm.
nice.
Of course,
uh-huh.
that means cars. Well, uh-huh. now the folks that are coming from any great distance will probably not drive. So that means you're going to have to make arrangements for everyone getting out there.
Uh-huh.
Now, Wilbur and Grace can go with Carl, and Frances, no, that won't work either. Wilbur has terribly long legs, and the back seat of Carl's car has no room at all for your legs.
And Effie, look, may I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish you would.
Look, then I suggest that since White Pine Lodge is right near Mound Prairie, we charter a bus that day to take the whole family.
Charter a bus?
Charter a bus?
Charter a bus. We can do it for very little. I know a guy who does nothing but this. The whole family can pile in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll visit Grandma's old home, then we'll go to White Pine Lodge where we can get a nice private room overlooking the lake, and we'll have our dinner right there.
Have dinner at the lodge?
Certainly. In the long run, it won't cost any more. And if it does, I'll make up the difference. The food is wonderful there. It saves all the cooking and dishes for you girls. And for once, we'll have a family reunion we can all enjoy. Okay? Now, look, I got to get the lodge meeting. What's the matter? Huh? What?
Excuse me?
Oh. What's the matter with her?
Oh. Really? How could you be so mean to your very own aunt?
Mean? I was thinking
aunt
of her.
Effie?
I was. Well, what did I say?
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. Daytime responsibilities don't have to weigh you down. With Arthur Godfrey and Art Linkletter on hand to keep you company, you can sail through any chore with ease. More than that, you'll pick up enough smiles in the process to last you right through the day. Arthur Godfrey and Art Linkletter are both experts at entertaining. Their amiability is catching, too. Before you know it, they'll have you in a mood as lighthearted as their own. And once that happens, any task is easier to do. For songs, jokes, and for all of the happy observations that come to mind, hear Arthur Godfrey Time and our Ford Road Show starring Arthur Godfrey every weekday. Art Linkletter's gregarious visitors on House Party invites you to join them 5 days a week on most of these same stations, too. Tune them in here, right here at CBS Radio. It's one sure way to tune up any weekday. Why not get in on the fun the very next time these agreeable programs come your way?
May I come in?
Oh, I thought you were going to your lodge meeting. No, don't go in. Leave her alone.
Going to my lodge meeting? How could I go to my lodge meeting with all this going on upstairs? Look, why is Aunt Effie so upset?
Oh, really, chartering a bus and going out for dinner.
Well, no, I ask you, isn't that sensible? Do you know what that day will be like otherwise? Everybody will be chasing back and forth from house to house, carrying food, rounding up enough chairs, getting dishes and silver, all of which will have to be washed and then distributed back again.
Yes,
The entire afternoon will be spent figuring out who owes what for what.
I know.
1 hour will be spent figuring out who goes in whose car, and then, as always happens, somebody will be left behind.
Yes, I know all that.
Why should you women spend the entire day cooking and doing dishes?
She wants to.
But
Can't you understand that? The day wouldn't be any fun unless they go through all that. That is part of a family reunion. They don't want to eat out. Don't you see?
No, frankly, I don't. But all right, if that's the way it has to be.
She doesn't think you like her cooking.
Oh, Aunt Effie.
Yes?
Look, Aunt Effie, can I come in? Listen, I want you to realize that the only reason I suggested all that was just to save you some work, Aunt Effie, really. You don't think I like giving up the thought of some of your candied sweet potatoes and that cranberry pudding?
Oh. Well, I like to fix them for you. My goodness.
So I think we better stick to your arrangements.
Well, I really do think they're more sensible.
I should have
known.
And
I have some other ideas we can talk about tomorrow. You run along to your lodge meeting here.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Oh, just one thing. Aunt Effie, how did this Mr. What's his name? You were getting over a ride over
Mr.
here.
Mr. Peterson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How could he fall off a kiddie car?
He was on it.
What was he doing on a kiddie car?
He was riding it.
He was riding it.
My dear, you remember Mr. Peterson.
Yes, sure. I just don't remember riding kiddie cars. Well, I'll mull over that the rest of the evening. Well, I'll see you later. See you later. So darn late now. Oh, look at the time.
What's the matter with him? He knows Mr. Peterson makes toys for children.
Oh, really?
Now, with 35 people, some of us may have to sleep on the floor.
Oh, it'll be fun, Aunt Effie. Now, don't worry about a thing. A family reunion.
5 nights a week and Saturday in the daytime, too, join CBS Radio's Amazon Andy Music Hall for a hilarious combination of music and fun. The antics of these famous fun makers will put you in a lighthearted mood as they get lightheaded about everything from high finance to romance. Get together with your whole family and live it up with the comedy, music, and fun you'll find at the Amos and Andy Music Hall. All you have to do is keep your dial set where it is on CBS Radio, which is the address of the Amos and Andy Music Hall 6 times a week on most of these same stations. The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch, stars Peg Lynch and Ellen Bunce, with Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Effie, and is produced by Walter Hart. This is Warren Sweeney inviting you to listen tomorrow to The Couple Next Door.
Why am I not the least bit surprised that Margaret Hamilton was Aunt Effie? Hey, Aunt Effie, come over here a minute. Help us. Since you want to help so much, help me clean this window. Yeah, just lean out a little bit. Look out. Okay, right there.
Is it Boulder?
Funny, I thought witches could fly.
Yeah. Yes, right. We were testing out.
You, my pretty.
Yeah.
And that goes for your little,
I know. Did you guys ever go to a lodge? I've never been to a lodge meeting.
I have never been invited to a lodge meeting. Is there such a thing anymore?
Well, I was going to put that out here, too. I think there are. I know that I had a neighbor, and he was a veteran as well, and he would take his missus to a veteran's lodge.
Well, there's the VFW and things like that, but
yes, but this
there's elks and eagles and things
elks
like that.
And
the
eagles,
lodge.
Yeah, but
mooses and
water buffalo
and armadillos
I don't know that
road runners.
I don't know that they actually have the old lodge meetings like the raccoons did on
the honeymooners,
yeah. Or yeah. The buffalo, water buffaloes did on the Flintstones.
On the Flintstones, that's right. The Grand Poobah and all that.
Yeah.
Grand
Poobah. But I don't think they really have that kind of meeting. Now, they have like Kiwanis meetings and things like that. And then there are VFW halls, but it's really just a place to gather and occasionally rent out, you know.
Yep.
Rosmith Jr. has been invited to lodge meetings that don't even exist. That's crazy. Look at it.
That's okay. I've been invited to parties that never were.
That too. Yeah.
Yes, I think people are just trying to get rid of me.
The outskirts of town and take a left, you know, and we'll be right there. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know what happened to me. In fact,
yeah.
I think you invited me to one of those.
Yeah. We brought a blanket.
Hey, before we forget it, I think Gar has learned a lesson for us.
Yes. Yeah, there's something here.
Oh, yeah. While it's still fresh on our minds, the...
that thing.
Our wonderful story from Couple Next Door. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Simple answers are only difficult for the simple-minded. There you go.
Bob must live in California because he lives in a dry county. Is that what he means?
No, well, that's the thing. There's the thing. It depends on how tight your community is. Some people, they live in a dry county. Yeah, so that happens. That there's some pockets of that in the South as well.
Yes.
You know, it
depends on
what
you got going on. Drinking.
Got a no drinking. And you might have to cross a city, state, or county line to get drinking.
Unless you make it yourself.
Unless you make it yourself. And it, you know,
corn squeezins.
Corn squeezins. That's right.
Yep.
And you know, the good thing about corn squeezins, you can put it in your car as well, and it'll run too. So, you know. I've never been part of a group that did the lodges. I don't think I've ever been part of any group that, you know.
Well, you're part of a plumber's union, right?
No. No,
oh, you
never
been
to
plumber's union?
No. Nope. And there were several of the types of jobs. Of the 5,628 jobs I've had in my life, you know, because I don't keep jobs. Anyway, I've never
I
been,
didn't
never
say
been.
That. I didn't say that. I
you
didn't
say
that.
Say, I didn't say that.
I think I was the one.
But Dave worked it out. Dave figured it out. That guy's had a lot. He's been fired a lot. No, it's weird, Rob Smith Jr., that you mentioned that the moose lodges are active, because in Florida, I don't know that. Well, mooses are the state bird, but other than that, I've never seen a moose in Florida.
Wait, moose is your state bird?
Well, I'm not saying we're backwards down here.
You're
in
not.
Florida.
You're not very picky to have a state bird that's a moose.
No, it was a short contest, you know.
That's okay. You know. The city bird in Parma is a housefly, so.
Parma?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Wait a minute. Did someone say it? Did someone actually say it?
Did someone say Parma? there we go. I have to leave the nation. You have to leave the nation.
Every time I play this, I have to cavort about. I'm cavorting.
Are you kvitzing as well as cavorting?
No, just cavorting. It's almost like a polka.
Just cavorting, no kvitzing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I would never kvitz. Whatever you call that.
If the money was right, I'd kvitz, but, you know.
Yeah, you're not doing it for free. Yeah, no.
No, no, you know. And then only with a flying moose, you know.
Flying moose.
So.
I would not really want to be standing under a flying moose. No, sir.
Well, I think the flying mooses are parallel with the amount of weird drinking that goes on. You know, did you see that moose? I sure did. Went right over. Good grief, you know.
Ran right over it.
No, I think the moose would run over you. They're pretty big.
That's what I understand. They're pretty big guys.
Yeah, and the ones with wings are even worse.
Winged meese.
Ralph Smith Jr. is apparently a member of a number of organizations that meet monthly, possibly weekly. You know, and you might have a donor, or something like that going on. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, he's not in a dry state. I think he's in a wet state of being. It was like, I don't know. Hello.
They make products for that.
They make product, and they make books and T-shirts, and yeah. So
there you go.
Good old Bob lives in I can't think of the name. What was the name of the place that Boris and Natasha came from? I can't remember because it wasn't Russia. It was
It was a spoof of Russia.
It was like Spotsylvania or something.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember, but good old Bob says he's got to leave the nation to get some booze. It's like that dry.
That's sad. That's sad.
It's so dry, he can't dry his eyes. It's that dry, yeah. Wow.
We need a fundraiser for Bob.
Either gas fare
or something.
I think Rob Smith Jr. might be able to hook him up with a meeting to go to.
A meeting?
Hello. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're in a club now. it's kind of like a lodge.
It's kind of like a lot.
Steps.
My name
steps.
Is Bill, and I don't have a job or a house or a horse. I lost my moose.
My moose. Where did you leave it last?
Good old Bob says, send booze. It's like, I think that's the opposite direction that they might be going in.
How do you lose a moose?
I don't know, but if you drink enough, you might lose your moose. I don't know how that works.
Where were you when you last had your moose?
The unemployment line, apparently.
I was walking by and I saw him. I saw his head sticking out up on the wall, and his rear end wasn't on the other end.
He must have been going mighty fast.
You have to go outside the building. You have to go outside the building to find the rest of him.
He might have been going really fast to crash through the wall like that.
I know. Well, they do that sometimes.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Are we having fun yet? I think so.
Not at all. Not at all.
No, and that thing, the couple next door, the guy had a good a good idea. You know,
he
you
did.
Know what? Just go to the lodge. And, you know, all this headache's gone. And the woman's like, but I want to do this. It's like, then go elsewhere. I think we're going to the lodge.
But I
have
to
do something. Guys try to be guys try to be problem solvers, you know?
Well, yes, you know, and he did it. But there was a hook. He kept saying, I need to go to the lodge meeting. And so maybe he was going to make money for his lodge if he got this entire group of people to go to the lodge. If it is indeed the same lodge, I don't know.
Could be. We've got Theater 5 coming up next. This one's called
We do.
The Walls of Poison Ivy.
Yes.
Ooh.
Which
is a
serious pun. That's crazy right there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The good old Theater 5 came to us from ABC Television in the mid-1960s. It was on five nights a week at 5 p.m. And so maybe they thought by having it a time when people were stuck in their cars driving home in traffic, they'd be able to get more listeners. But anyway, that was Theater 5.
I liked it. Good old Fred Foy. Fred Foy.
Yep.
Who was it? The Fred Foy announces the musical director or something like that. Had an amazing name. Like Biglio Wachowski or something. I forget what
something
it
like that. Yeah, we'll hear that at the end of the program. Yeah,
we will. Yeah. So keep listening, folks. And there's an air date, all kinds of stuff on this.
There probably is. What do we have for Walls of Poison Ivy?
Oh, I wrote a 7, so that's July 14th.
Yes.
1960, I have to count it on my fingers. And I only have three. I lost the rest of them in the unemployment line. 1965 is what said in there.
And here is part one.
Here we go.
Yep.
Theater 5 presents The Walls of Poison Ivy.
Yes, come in.
Hi there, Ellery.
Oh, good morning, Joe. Did you sleep well?
Are you kidding? I bet this hotel hasn't bought two new mattresses since we were students in this town. That makes the rocks in them at least 25 years old.
Typical of progress in the Middle West. Whenever I leave Manhattan, I feel like a pioneer.
Hey, don't knock this part of the country. After all, this is my state, and I'm an elected official. Ellery, I bet you haven't seen this newspaper for years.
What is it, the local sheet?
No, the Student Daily, the Harmon College News.
Oh, where'd you pick that up?
On the campus. It's a special reunion edition. You and I are on the front page.
Well, that's encouraging.
Listen to this. It's the lead story. The annual reunion of combined classes at Harmon this weekend will be highlighted by the presence of two outstanding alumni of the class of 1940. Returning 25 years after their graduation will be the Honorable Joseph T. Riley, the popular state senator who has never lost an election, and Mr. Ellery James, the distinguished drama critic from New York City.
I like that part.
Ha-ha. Senator Joe, as he is affectionately known to his constituents, will be standing for re-election next fall, while Mr. James, according to informed sources, is in line for the presidency of the Drama Critics Guild. Now, how's that for fame, Ellery, huh?
Very impressive. May we both be crowned with success. excuse me, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Simon? Simon Pepper? Well, where are you? 902? Well, look, I'm in 906. Yeah, come right over. Joe Riley's here. Good. See you.
Simon Pepper, the lazy giant of our class.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of Simon for 20 years. You know, he was a dreamy kind of a guy. And with his bill, he could have played football, but he didn't want to be bothered.
Yeah, you remember how close we all were? I wonder why.
Maybe because he was such a good talker. You remember the night we got stewed in the dorm and we argued?
Come in, Simon.
Simon!
There he is.
I greet you with memories of the past, when we were fledglings in an uncomplicated world.
Simon, you old son of a gun. How are you, boy?
One moment. Yes, you're Joe Riley, and no mistake. I recognize that grinning face from 100 Sunday supplements.
Simon, it's delightful to see you again.
Thanks, Ellery. I wouldn't have recognized your face, I'm afraid. But I've kept in touch with you through your pungent dramatic criticism.
Well, I'm flattered. Sit down, Simon. We have a quarter century of loose ends to pull together.
Yeah. Holy Moses, I guess we haven't seen one another since we graduated. The Three Musketeers.
I shudder at the memory. Were we ever that callow?
I was the callow member, I'm afraid. I fiddled the years away while you boys burned with ambition.
Yeah. Ellery and I have done okay. What about you, Simon, huh? Well, I mean...
If you're taken aback by my appearance, I don't wonder. You see, I'm a floater with no bank account and no ambition. But that's the path I chose for myself, and I've no regrets.
But I find this incredible. Are you married?
No. Now, shall we boys bear our souls without embarrassment, we Three Musketeers?
Well, I sure would like to know why you picked your way of life, if you feel like talking.
Oh, I do, Joe, I do. I've never told this to anyone before because, I've had no friends to tell it to. You see, I've never married, never had a steady job, because I've always been possessed by a morbid, desperate fear.
A fear of what, Simon?
Of committing murder.
What? You're kidding.
I see I've shocked you. But my fear is genuine. You might call it a phobia. I'm afraid that maybe as a result of domestic conflicts or sudden anger at an employer, I could become homicidal.
Well, how do you explain this phobia?
It stems from a history of violence in my family. My brother, in a moment of rage, crushed his employer's skull. And my mother, in a fit of madness, shot my father.
Really, Simon?
Yes. And as a result of those sanguinary incidents, I'm afraid there are seeds of murder in my genes. Those transmitters of hereditary traits.
But that fear is scientifically unfounded. Things like that are not physically inherited.
So I've read, Ellery, but I've not been able to convince myself. For that reason, I've made no permanent alliances, so to speak. Nor, above all, had children.
Well, this is all pretty shocking, Simon. You should have done something about it.
Have you seen a psychiatrist?
No. I've analyzed myself and worked out my own therapy, which is complete isolation. I've managed to suppress my tendencies to quick anger and excitement. In fact, keeping my temper in check has been my life's work. So I've withdrawn from the rat race. With no social security card, no credit cards, no numbered identification, whatever.
But, Simon, have you any regrets?
None. I have my health, and above all, a clear conscience. Yes, gentlemen. I'm one member of the class of 1940 who never knowingly did a dishonest or shameful act. Not even to get started in life, to obtain my first break, so to speak.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, explain that, will you?
Gentlemen, I'm not a man to carry tales. The incidents that come to mind took place a quarter of a century ago and have no bearing on the present.
Simon, why don't you drop down in a half hour or so? My room's 814. We'll have a drink and talk about the good old days, okay?
Certainly, Joe, certainly. But now I better go to my own room and try to improve my appearance. Ellery, when I see you later...
Yes, Simon. You will indeed.
Ah, Ellery, come in. Welcome to the cheapest room in the hotel.
Simon, before you go up to see Joe, I'd like a word with you. Concerns something you said in my room.
About my peculiar phobia?
No. Your remark about a clear conscience and your never having done a dishonest act to get started in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. Was there any hidden meaning in that remark? Anything of a personal nature?
Well, it was personal, yes, but there was no malicious intent.
Simon, unless you explain, I'm going to be quite angry with you.
Oh, dear me, I don't want that to happen because, as I told you, I'm a man of peace. However, if you're going to force my hand... Ellery, does the title St. Elmo's Fire mean anything to you?
Go on, Simon.
I see that it does, and understandably. St. Elmo's Fire was a successful play that was produced in New York in 1941. With your name on it as author.
I was the author of that play.
Oh, come on, you and I know better. The play was written by our English professor, Dr. Alan Blake.
That's a lie!
I know the facts. You see, I typed the manuscript for Dr. Blake before he died.
That was my play. I wrote it during my senior year.
No, Ellery, Dr. Blake wrote it. And after he suddenly died of a heart attack, you submitted it as your work and had it produced. So you gained distinction in the theatrical world earlier than most young men.
Simon... I can't let you...
Get away from me. I don't like being touched. Ah, that's better.
I was a playwright. I was.
Were you indeed? Then why didn't you continue writing plays?
Because
you didn't have the ability. And so you stayed in the theater and became a critic of other men's work. But cheer up, my friend. I've never told anyone. So you've got nothing to worry about. It's ancient history.
Yes, Simon. But now it is history.
Hey, part one of Theater Five.
That's true. Part one of Theater Five.
And not a moose mentioned yet.
Yeah, but he stole the play.
It's early.
He stole the play.
He stole the play. And a famous play, the St. Elmo's, they made a movie out of it. So, I mean,
they
really
did.
Went. Yeah.
And
really
a song.
Went somewhere with this one. Now, wouldn't Theater 5 have to pay someone royalties for mentioning said play and or whatever?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
It is.
Was
I'm going to ask
was
my
it really? Was it really a play? Was it
I
really
no
a play?
Idea. I don't know. I got nothing. Maybe it was a book. Maybe it was a book. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Well, I'm sure the panel has something to say about that. Where's the panel? Down there. The panel says it was a song.
In the 80s. It was St. Elmo's Fire.
I see it as a movie.
814, No Peace.
No Justice, No Peace.
It was only a movie as far as I could see.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a theme song to the movie. I don't know.
Well, it could be that
was.
They came to that title and just made that up, and then lo and behold,
and someone heard it.
Or not necessarily, you know, but it could have.
St. Elmo's Fire. I don't even know. I don't recall seeing the movie. So I can't even.
I remember the song
movie.
From the 80s. I remember the song from the 80s. They had to play it in the bar a lot.
Isn't that the Brat Pack that was with that? Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore,
I believe
Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy. They were known as Addie McDowell.
Yeah, they were in the
Brat Pack.
Not
the Rat Pack, but the Brat Pack. Yeah.
Yeah, because exactly. What was that? There was something where they all had to stay after school or something like that.
Breakfast Club.
Okay, there you go.
That was a good movie. I like that movie.
I like breakfast.
Let's start
a club.
There's a club?
They meet at Denny's every morning.
Were all like different like kids from different walks of life, and they got to know each other from being in detention. It's a good movie,
yeah.
Breakfast Club. Classic 80s movie.
I remember a meeting I went to, and then afterwards we would go to a restaurant and continue the meeting, but there was no booze there. It was just, I knew if you tossed it out that someone would answer.
Yep.
Rob Smith Jr. Just inked this. It's still wet. St. Elmo's Fire is a myth. There's no fire. There's no Elmo, and he wasn't a saint. No, it's a concise version.
That sounds like Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yes.
Yeah, it could have been. Well, there you go.
There's no guy named Monty Python. There's no Flying Circus anywhere.
I never saw it. Well, it was hanging out with the moose. The flying moose,
moose,
you know. The moose, yeah. Our state bird. Yeah, so.
Could have been worse. Could have been a house fly. Like I said.
Could have been a house, you know. And
yeah, there you go.
It flew, and
it landed on someone.
Know. Uh-huh.
Who was in our last show.
My pretty.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
We are not in Kansas. We're in the state of flying mooses. The myth appears.
Mooses to pieces.
Mooses, yes, we're here to get the mooses.
We could, on a whim, we could finish up our show, The Walls of Poison Ivy from
Theater
5.
Yeah, we had something going on. Yeah.
We could do
that.
Okay. We could.
Here's
part
two.
That breakfast show.
Simon, I'll get to the point. The reason I wanted to see you here in my room was to find out what you meant a while ago. I want a direct answer.
Joe, you sound like a prosecuting attorney.
Now, was there anything personal in that guff you handed us about conscience and shameful acts?
Personal, yes, but nothing to be exercised about. You see, when you were a student here at college, you were a big man on the campus, a wheeler-dealer. Even then, politics was your game.
Go on.
At present, as state senator, I believe you're the white knight of conservatism. Am I correct?
100%.
Then tell me, does the name John White ring a bell? Joe, you've upset your drink.
Forget it. Who is John White?
He never existed. John White was your pseudonym, Joe, when you were a student member of the new World Communist League.
When I was... Go on, Simon.
When the authorities got interested in radical undergraduate movements, you found it convenient to change your politics. And you denounced a sophomore named Peter Bliss, who was also a member of the League. You remember Peter, I'm sure.
Keep talking.
Peter confessed, not knowing who had incriminated him. Then he committed suicide. And you gained national recognition for your splendid loyalty and returned home after graduation as a patriotic hero, after which came political success. Are you wondering how I gathered my information?
You know I am.
Very simply, I was a secret member of the League.
I see. Simon, do you realize that if you ever repeated that story, I wouldn't stand a chance of re-election?
Of course, but I don't intend to repeat it. It's water over the dam, 25 years ago.
Yes, Simon, so it is. Now, you creep, get out of here before I break every bone in your body.
Oh, I don't think you could, Joe. Seems to me you've grown rather flabby in your middle age.
Ellery, I've come to talk about Simon. He and I just had a very screwy conversation.
About me?
No, just about things in general. If you ask me, I think he's out of his mind.
I agree with you, Joe. There's something almost sinister about his psychological maladjustment.
I feel sorry for the poor guy. He's wasted his whole life.
Completely. Now he's little more than a parasite on society.
But you think he's dangerous?
Maybe. In my opinion, a useless, neurotic man like Simon doesn't deserve to live. Simon? Ellery. Simon, I'd like to apologize for losing my temper this morning. How about coming over to my room for a late drink?
Good.
I'll expect you. Well, make yourself comfortable, Simon.
Thank you.
Do you take water or soda?
Neither. Thanks, Ellery. I've always been opposed to diluting good whiskey.
Sensible man.
By the way, Joe ought to be with us this evening. We might recapture a few old memories. Would you like me to call his room?
No, in view of the confidential chat you and I had this morning, I prefer to talk to you alone.
Joe knows nothing about that conversation, I assure you. And if you want further assurance, no one will ever know.
Look, Simon, don't you realize...
Don't I realize what, Ellery?
Never mind.
Don't be angry with me because I told you I knew about your early indiscretion. You were passionately insistent that I explain myself.
Don't you understand? I had to know what you knew.
And I told you. In your youth, you stole another man's property. But that experience hasn't corrupted you, I'm sure. As Oscar Wilde pointed out, experience is the name everyone gives to his mistakes. Oh, you haven't touched your whiskey. Shall we drink to a buried secret?
But it isn't buried. You know it and I know it. For 25 years, my guilt has stretched me on the rack.
Well, that's quite an admission, Ellery. And I see your conscience does bother you after all.
Of course it does. And fear as well. Simon, don't you realize that you could destroy me? Has it occurred to you that some men would commit murder to obliterate such a secret?
Yes. It has occurred to me, often. But suppose you were to kill me. Would your conscience be able to bear that?
Never mind that, Simon! Harry! Stop it! Stop it, I say! I'll destroy you! I've got to!
Harry! No! I beg you, don't make me tell you! Have you forgotten seeds of murder? My inherited capacity to kill? Oh, Mother, why have you done this to me?
Your call, please.
Get me room 814.
Yes, sir.
Hello, this is Joe Riley.
Joe. This is Simon.
Yes, Simon.
Come up to Ellery's room at once. Something has happened here. He is dead, isn't he, Joe? I did kill him.
Yes, but why?
Why? Because I'm my mother's son.
What happened?
Ellery attacked me. I lost all sense of reason. I grabbed his throat.
Why did he attack you?
I knew something about Ellery that could have destroyed him. So he wanted to kill me.
That's an odd coincidence. I have the same motive Ellery had.
And now you want to kill me?
Yes, Simon, I do. In fact, I was wondering how to do it when you phoned me. I think I've solved the problem. The open window.
Oh, I see. And after that, what?
Very simple. I can dispose of you with no danger to myself. The police will find Ellery's body here and make their own deductions. They'll say you strangled Ellery, then committed suicide by jumping out the window.
It's all over, Simon. You kept your secret long enough.
No! Stop! Please! I beg you!
Your call, please. Yes. What? Oh, my. Mr. Pepper, yes, at once. Captain, send security up to 906. Somebody in that room just reported a murder and suicide.
Theater 5 has presented The Walls of Poison Ivy, written by Albert G. Miller, directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Elliot Reed, George Petrie, Guy Sorrell, and Helen Choate. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastatsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC radio.
Okay. That was kind of an abrupt ending.
Hey, we get what we get.
Five. Yep, that's right.
Get it. Vlastatsenko was that guy's name, that musical director or whatever. I know.
Yeah. And speaking of getting what we get. We get another one of these. Erie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's Moral of the Story.
Having skeletons in your closet isn't a problem as long as you have the space.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny. Here's Johnny.
Okay.
So the understanding about St. Elmo's fire is apparently it's some natural phenomenon that occurs during electrical storms or something that I've never heard of ever.
I believe pilots have reported seeing St. Elmo's fire. I've heard of it. I'm not well read on it at all. But yeah, the little balls of electricity or fire or something.
Yeah, good old Bob said sailors have seen it. I was a sailor, and I never saw it. I don't know.
There's a phenomenon known as ball lightning, and some people feel it's related, possibly the same thing.
Right, and a lot ball of people lightning. See UFOs. The explanation is, oh, it wasn't a UFO. It was ball lightning.
Yes.
You know.
Followed by cat boy lightning.
And moose lightning. And yeah, all kinds of different lightning. I guess.
Yes. When in doubt, call it ball lightning.
Ball lightning. What was it? It was ball lightning.
It had to have been ball lightning.
It had to have been. Never seen it before, but it sounds just like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do
we don't know? We haven't seen, but that's for sure. That's what it was.
That's what it is. And the odd thing about it is it has been used as an explanation to get rid of people that thought of UFOs. No, it's ball lightning. But from what I understand, ball lightning is very rare. It doesn't happen that often. Kind of like swamp gas, maybe. I don't know.
I have swamp gas about every night.
You got it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you can get Bromo Seltzer for that, Dave. I don't know. Bromo Seltzer
Express.
Yeah, or some Tums or something. I don't know.
Something, please, anything.
Anything.
Yeah, I just recently saw something where, you know, the explaining the difference between types of people. And so, like, a pessimist sees a dark room. Optimist sees the light at the end of the tunnel. A realist sees a train, and a train driver sees three idiots standing on a railroad track.
Yeah,
going, what is that?
I just saw that today. I just read that, Dave.
Yep,
that was awesome. Kudos to the original poster, whoever you are.
Yes.
Whoever you are. I missed that one.
Or
I wrote that right after I wrote St. Elmo's Fire. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. There you go.
Dave is the original author.
Uh-huh.
send all royalties to Erie House Radio, P.O. Box.
There you go.
Walla Walla, I came up with one this week, and it's a picture of an elder gentleman, and it said, I'm so old in my day, common sense was called pocket change.
Okay.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. We have even more radio. Can
so
you believe
much
it?
More.
What you say?
What?
And I would argue that perhaps the best of the evening.
Well, you can argue that, but you know, it's interesting. Gar asked me earlier for the date on this particular thing, and I didn't realize I had made this particular episode almost 21 years ago.
You could make a reunion. It's that old.
Well, I could make a reunion.
Yeah.
Actually, in some ways, I have. The gal that is the female lead in this, she was the gal I knew in high school, and she had all the leads. In 1981, she showed up on an episode of the Weirdness Radio Show as a special guest. In 2010, she showed up and co-hosted an episode of A Weirdness Really Bad Movie and was in a few sketches. And who knows where the next this is the next 10 years. We'll see where we get her next. But she was in several of our radio stages, including the very first one we did, which we have aired, The Timeless Affair. And but she's back in this one, and Joe Cleon is back once again also in here. So,
Dave, I was curious about what the exact kind of name this thing, because it says Studio X, then it says the call letters, and it says Radio Stage.
Okay, well, the radio, yeah, WCRS Radio Stage. It was on WCRS, Written Communications Radio Service. And Studio X, actually, before we were rebuilding the studios, we kind of put some rooms together. And this was just had steel girders around it. And James and I always called that room, that scary room with a nice echo, of Studio X. When we did build the new studios, that was all torn down. We had a nice recording room in there. And that was in the same place that James and I called Studio X. So Studio X was the room. The station was WCRS. Radio Stage was the program.
Ah, cool. Okay. That cleared it all up.
There you go.
Sort of.
Hey, Bree.
Let me know if I can confuse you further. Yes, yes.
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 It's what we live for.
Was it called Radio Stage 10 or not? No?
No. It was Radio Stage. WCRS Radio Stage. But it came to you from Studio X.
Studio X, yeah, it said that. Yeah, I was trying to rip it apart.
And this one is called A Game of Chicken.
Oh, I threw it away. Okay, so I had it corrected. I had another copy of the moral thing. This one says September 17th, 1948. And I know that's wrong because it's October 31, 2000.
Yeah.
But I was looking at it going, wait a second. Is this? No, something's wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay.
So from Halloween night,
maybe
2000.
Maybe this reunion has something to do with a ghost. Ooh.
Yeah, 1948. I don't know. Yeah.
Again, from Halloween 2000, A Game of Chicken.
Yes.
From great stories to tales of intrigue, we present WCRS Radio Stage. Please join us for this exercise of the imagination with radio drama. Today, a story by David E. Binkley. That That sound tells us there's only 15 seconds till curtain time. So get comfortable in your chair as we go to Studio X and WCRS Radio Stage presents the story, A Game of Chicken. Few things are more awkward than living through the teenage years, but there is one thing that could be, and that would be to go back and relive those good old years in the guise of a class reunion. Those memories may not always be fun. One may relive times of uncertainty, fear, and sometimes the love that never was. And that is what has drawn Mr. George McGravitt to his 20-year class reunion in Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
I noticed you sitting here, and you looked so lonely. I thought that I'd come over and see if you wanted to talk or something. Do you mind if I sit down?
Huh? Sure, but you should have a better pickup line than that.
I really hate these things, don't you?
What things are you referring to?
You know, class reunions.
I don't know why I came here tonight. I'm not really good in crowds. I just sort of blend in, and then nobody even notices me.
I noticed you, and I know why you came.
Oh, really? Tell me then, why did I come here?
It's the biggie, the 20-year class reunion. First, you wanted to see if anyone would show up who you would recognize. And secondly, you wanted to see if anyone would recognize you.
That's amazing. How did you know that?
Because that's why I came here tonight. In fact, that's why 90% of the people came here tonight.
What about the rest of the people?
Well, 2% came because they got stuck on the reunion committee last reunion. And the last 8% came because they think they are so completely wonderful, they just couldn't wait to show everyone. I see you don't like wearing name tags any more than I do. I'm George, George McGravitt. And you are?
Trisha. Trisha Yarrow.
Oh, no, you're not.
I'm not? Well, who am I then?
You are Trisha Neely.
Ah, that's very good. But I haven't been Trisha Neely for quite some time. That was 17 years, 2 children, and several pounds ago.
I'll tell you, Trisha, I didn't notice any extra pounds, but that smile of yours will always give you away. By the way, you forgot to mention the divorce. I notice your ring finger.
What are you, a detective?
No, just a guy who has had a crush on you since the 11th grade. Yarrow, I guess that means you must have married Charlie Yarrow.
That's the first time that you've been wrong tonight. I married his brother, Jimmy. He was a couple of years behind us.
Gee, that's the second time I've been wrong this month.
George McGravitt. I can't place your name.
Think all you want, but you'll never place me. I was heavier, had glasses, and was never in any of your classes.
Well, then how did you ever come to have this crush on me?
It happened when you came to my rescue.
I came to your rescue?
That's right. It was only my second day in the school, and you fussed at 2 guys who were on the wrestling team. They were really hassling me, and you told them to pick on someone their own size. They said if I was a friend of yours, then they would leave me alone. And they did.
Funny. I don't remember it.
And I never forgot it. From that moment on, I admired you from afar, as the poets used to say. I would see you in the hallway. I would look for you in assemblies. And no matter where you sat during lunch period, I was always exactly 2 tables away. Close enough to see you, yet not close enough to be noticed.
So what happened? Why didn't you ever talk to me?
I was new at school. Our family just moved to Newcastle my junior year, and I didn't know anyone my own age. You, on the other hand, you were always surrounded by your friends. I had a complete lack of confidence. In short, I was chicken.
You certainly don't lack confidence now.
That was a lot of years ago, Trisha, and I've done a lot of things and worked very hard to overcome my fears. but I wouldn't be sitting here now if the impression on your ring finger wasn't worn away as much as it is. I may not be chicken anymore, but I'm no fool either. I wouldn't mess with another man's wife, even if I did have a crush on her for the last 21 years.
So, now you know the story of my last 20 years, what about yours?
Oh, I've done a lot of things. I've jumped out of a plane, parasailed, hand-glided off a cliff, fought a ghost, flew some experimental planes.
Wait, back up a little. You fought a ghost?
I guess we really didn't fight. It was more like a game that we played, and I won.
You've got to tell me about it.
I'll tell you what. You get up on the dance floor with me, promise not to laugh too hard at my footwork, and I'll tell you all about it.
You got yourself a deal, mister.
I'm warning you right now. I'm pretty light on my feet. I'll probably be heavy on yours, but light on mine.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad I came tonight. I haven't felt this good in a long time.
Maybe it's been a while since you've had an adventure. So how long have you been divorced, Tricia?
About 3 years. But look, this dance is supposed to be about you and your ghost. You're a better dancer than you are a liar. You really didn't meet up with a ghost, did you?
Some people said there was a ghost, and some people said there wasn't. I'll tell you the story. You can decide the matter for yourself.
Sounds fair to me.
Let's see. After I graduated, I decided to go to Defiance College.
Where's that?
Defiance is a small college town in northwestern Ohio. It's about 250 miles away from here. To me, it was a perfect location. Far enough away from home to be away from my parents, but close enough to go home for a home-cooked meal every third or fourth weekend.
That's even further away than I made it on my honeymoon. What led you to Defiance?
Believe it or not, Defiance College at the time was one of two or three colleges in the country that had an undergraduate degree in museology.
Museology?
Yeah, that's museum studies. I don't know if anyone offers it as an undergrad degree anymore. Even Defiance dropped it a few years back. You can only get a master's degree in it now. Anyway, the best way to get to Defiance from Newcastle is practically a straight shot. You take Route 224 all the way across Ohio and catch Route 15, about 30 miles out of Defiance.
That sounds like quite a haul.
It's not really that bad. If you drive straight through, it only takes around 5 hours. But then again, I very seldom ever drove it in one straight shot. Part of the reason was because I preferred to drive late at night. You know, fewer crazies, less truckers on the road. There's a little Ohio town about three-quarters of the way from here called Willard. Let's see, I was going back to school after spring break. I was heading back to school a little early. Unlike the 2 years before, I didn't go to Florida for spring break and decided to go home and spend some time with my parents. In other words, I was broke and couldn't afford to go down. Between my mom's cooking and my dad's lectures, I really had a belly full by Thursday evening and decided to head back to campus early. I'd been on the road for, around 3 hours, and was starting to think how good a cup of coffee would be at the Willard Country Kitchen. Now, 224 takes a sharp right just before entering Willard. I took the curve a little faster than I should have, and when I rounded the turn, I saw headlights of a car coming right at me. I was frozen, and everything seemed to move in slow motion. I heard this blood-curdling laugh, and just as we were about to collide, I turned sharply to the right and went off the road. I looked in my rearview mirror and saw the car driving off. The taillights were different than anything I'd seen before. It seemed to be a row of lights going up the back end of the car. But the funny thing was that the taillights just disappeared. Or had they just turned the corner? No lights could be seen, but I could still hear that laughter.
Was your ghost? Doesn't sound like you fared very well against him.
That's because that was our first meeting. When I finally started breathing a little more normal, and bone replaced the rubber that had become my legs, I got out of my car to see how much damage there was. As my luck would have it, I had only blown out my front two tires. Of course, all I had with me was one of those little Space Saver tires. I went back to the driver's seat, sat behind the wheel, just giving myself a chance to collect myself. After a few minutes had passed, a car pulled up behind me and stopped. I was about to get out of the car and confront him, thinking this may have been the driver of the car who had just run me off the road, when he put on his flashing lights. It was a policeman. Maybe he had seen the other car.
Are you all right in there?
I'm a little shaken, but I'm all right.
Can I see your license? What happened here, anyway?
Here you go, officer. Some car drove me off the road. When I pulled over here to get out of the way, both my front tires blew out.
So I see, Mr. McGravitt. Would you step out of the car, please?
What's going on here?
It's just routine. You were going a little fast back there. I can tell by your skid marks. Okay, now put your arms at your side and close your eyes. Now, bring your arms up level with your shoulder. Touch your nose with the index finger of your right hand. All right. Now, with your left hand. Now, you don't appear to be intoxicated. Here's your license, Mr. McGravitt. I'm sorry, but I have to check things out when they look a little suspicious. You know, it is 11:15. I don't suppose you have two spare tires.
You suppose correctly.
Well, the garage will be open in about 8 hours. You got enough money for a night stay, or should I drop you off at the country kitchen and tell them not to hassle you until daylight, huh?
Let me see. My mom stuffed some money into my pockets when I left home. Yeah, I've got plenty, but you can drop me off at the restaurant anyway. I could sure use a strong cup of coffee about now.
All right, hop in. You can sit up front here.
Thanks. So what kind of town are you running here, Sheriff?
What do you mean?
Well, a car came speeding out of your town and ran me off the road.
Well, now, I'll tell you what, Mr. McGravitt. I drove from out of town in this direction, and I didn't pass anyone.
Then what brought you my way?
Well, I got a call from the dispatcher who said that someone complained about two gunshots. Well, I guess they must have heard your tires blow out.
I don't suppose anyone complained about laughing.
Complained about what?
Skip it. Is there anyone you know in town who drives or collects classic cars?
What do you mean by classic cars? Cars like Corvettes, Mustangs?
No, more like cars from the 50s. Cars with those big fins on the back.
Nope, I don't know anyone living around here like that.
That's really an odd way of putting it. What do you mean by that?
Now, I'll tell you what. I've been a policeman for 22 years now. I'm dealing hard facts. I'm not a storyteller. If it's a story you want, go in that restaurant and tell Jenny that Bobby Bateman sent you. Last stop, everybody out.
Coming in? I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
No, thanks. I've got a ghost to catch.
Strange guy.
Whoopsie, abrupt ending to part one.
Couldn't have been. I don't think that was the ending of it.
Hello?
I don't think that was the ending of part one.
No.
It wasn't, Gar? Did it just cut off there,
dear?
I don't think so.
It is now.
It did run for 14 minutes and 13 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that was the cutoff point. Okay.
Sure.
My bad. That's halfway. That's
interesting,
just
though.
The halfway point there. You know, an interesting thing how they say that writer knows, writes about what they know. Actually, that incident happened to me in, I moved into Norton in my junior year. He went from Louisville to Norton, so I didn't know anybody there. And there were these two wrestlers who were hassling me, and Kathy Nutter came and fussed at two guys. Now, Kathy Nutter actually was Maureen's sister. It was Maureen Nutter at the time. So it's just kind of fun the way that kind of just what I didn't even realize that, because when I wrote it, I didn't have any cast in mind for it, you know, but
cool.
Just kind
and,
of a,
you know,
a little...
she married a guy named John Butter, then she would be Catherine Nutter Butter. Yeah.
Yeah, if she hyphenated, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have a nutter butter peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Yeah.
Remember all that stuff? We used to go to Lima, and my mother hated Route 30. I don't know why, so we always took 224, which was, Dale, if you've taken that down there past it, it's all single lane road, a lot of turns and twists. And
oh yeah,
it does go through Willard, Ohio, and there's that big turn right there. And I always thought about that, you know, how many accidents they had there. So,
yeah, there had to be a lot. That was, especially at night. That was a drive.
And then when I was researching, I called up the library, and she helped me with a lot of actual places that were there, like the auto dealership was the repair place was an actual place, and some things like that. So it's kind of a cool little story I put together. That's all.
It's very cool for me because I recognize a lot of the, you know, the scenes, shall we say, that are described in this radio play.
Yep.
In the last, I don't know, decade or so, I've really reduced my driving, so I don't drive at night that much. I definitely don't get on the interstate that much. I don't travel or have had need to. But I tell you, every time I have gotten on there, if you live through it, you definitely always come back with some type of a story. If you get on the interstates or the highways and byways.
And did you live through it?
Well, I'm here talking, so maybe.
That's proof of nothing. That proves nothing.
That proves nothing. Yes.
Nothing.
No, I do recall driving,
theory,
and there's no one else on the road, and then you see lights, like, far away, and they seem close and far away and close, and then it goes away. I don't know. Ball lightning. I'm going to say ball lightning. That just happened to look like the running lights of another car. But yeah.
You didn't put your answer in the form of a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's true. I also didn't
minus five
touch my
points
finger
right
to my
there.
Nose.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go. So let's wrap up. The Walls of... No, not The Walls of Poison Ivy. We did that already. A Game of Chicken from WCRS Radio Stage.
Strange guy.
Just one tonight?
Yeah, one chair and one pot of coffee.
Here's your seat and your cup. I'll be right back with the coffee. Cream with that?
No, thanks. I just take it black. Oh, that does hit the spot. This is the first good thing to happen to me tonight.
Rough night?
I'm sure I've had one worse, but I can't remember it at the moment.
Want a menu now?
No, but I might in a while. By the way, I was supposed to tell you that Bobby Bateman sent me.
That jerk!
Did I say something wrong?
Hey, I'm sorry. It's just that every time some noodlehead slides off the road, that Philip Crenshaw sends them in here and tells them to tell me that Bobby drove them off the road.
Look, I didn't just slide off the road. I was run off.
Sorry again. No, I dated Bobby in high school, and Philip still gives me a hard time about it.
So, you dated Bobby, did you?
Look, that was 24 years ago.
Why would this Crenshaw guy tell everyone to come in here and say that?
Because he was always jealous of Bobby. That and the fact that I've never gone out with him.
There has to be more to it than that.
Well, Bobby did have a habit of playing chicken.
Playing chicken? Isn't that where you walk on the railroad tracks and when a train comes along, the last one to jump off the tracks would be the winner and the other would be chicken?
That's one version of the game. Jimmy's was a little different. He'd be out driving his 57 Chrysler, and sometimes we saw a car coming. He would get into its lane and stay there until one of them would swerve out of the lane. He hated losing, and he almost never did. And when he won, he would give a laugh that I swear could be heard for miles.
So, have you seen Bobby lately?
No, I haven't.
but I'm not in the habit of spending time in Greenwood Cemetery.
Greenwood Cemetery?
Yeah. Back in 1959, he was playing a game of chicken and lost. As he swerved his car out of the way at the last second, he lost the game and his life.
He died?
They say his car was wrapped around a tree so tight that the only way they could get Bobby out of the car was to cut the car in half. At least, that's what they told me. I went to his funeral, but it was a closed casket. Maybe it was best that way. But I don't know why I'm boring you with my ancient history.
On the contrary, you've really made my night quite interesting.
Would you like to order anything to eat?
No, thanks. I think I'll be on my way. I need to check into the motel. Jenny left the check, and I left a $5 bill for a 90-cent cup of coffee. When I got to the motel, they gave me lucky room number 13. I protested weakly, not wanting anything to do with anything unlucky like the number 13, but relented when I found out it was the only room available. I took a quick shower and went straight to bed. I was exhausted, but it seemed like forever before I finally drifted off to sleep. And the last thing I remember hearing was that eerie laughter of a man I never met. A man dead for 23 years.
So this Bobby, he was the one who ran you off the road?
He was the one.
But he died 23 years before. How could he do that
Unless he was a ghost. Yeah, I thought of that. I thought about it when I had breakfast. I thought about it when I replaced my tires, one at a time. By the time I was finished, it was almost 10, and I had an idea. I went to the library and checked out the back issues of the Willard Times on microfilm, starting in 1959. In June of that year, I struck pay dirt.
Robert James Bateman, 19, local mechanic, was found dead last Tuesday at 11:20 p.m. According to the skid marks on the road, Bateman was driving in the wrong lane and was traveling at a high rate of speed when he veered off the road and struck a tree. He appeared to have died on impact. He is survived by his mother and several aunts and uncles. Memorial services will be held Saturday.
Darn it, there goes my theory. Everything they told me checks out, except for one final thing. So I found myself at Greenwood Cemetery. I'd spent the day trying to prove there were no such things as ghosts, and this was my last chance. It took about 10 minutes to find his grave marker, and when I did, I found what I'd been looking for. Here lies the body of Robert Bateman. May he find the peace in death that he did not in life. Born January 19th, 1940. Died. There's no date here, but I couldn't tell if the date was worn away or if it had never been there at all. I had never believed in ghosts, and I wasn't about to start now. It was clear to me now, Bobby Bateman wasn't really dead. This was one of the most elaborate hoaxes I had ever seen or heard about. And they all had to be in on it. The police, the waitress, the newspaper, the graveyard. To spend this much time and effort on this trick and then overlook a simple thing like the death date on a tombstone, well, it just didn't make any sense. But then again, none of this made any real sense. What I couldn't figure out was why they picked me. Or maybe it wasn't just me. Perhaps this is just the way a few people in this small town had fun and relieved their boredom, trapping people just passing through into their ghost web. I was determined that I wouldn't get caught in that web. I was going to catch me a ghost. I was left with two possibilities in this situation. The first, and the one that I believed, was that a flesh and bones person had run me off the road, whether it was Bobby Bateman or someone pretending to be Bobby. If he was real, I could beat him at his own game. The second possibility was that I had come up against a ghost, and I could still beat him. A ghost has no substance, so if a ghost goes through me, it can't hurt. I was going to prove who he was, one way or another. All I had to do was not steer from the car's path when it came towards me. But this time, I was looking for him, and I would be ready. It was 4:50 in the afternoon when I left the cemetery. I had plenty of time before it got dark, so I had a leisurely dinner. After I finished, I got in my car and drove out of town in the direction which I had come from the day before. I had stopped in the first town I came to that had a movie theater, bought a ticket, and went in. I got some ice cream after the movie, and at about 11 o'clock, I found myself back on the road, headed towards Willard. While I was inside watching the movie, a storm had come up. Perfect night for a ghost hunt, I told myself. With the lightning streaks lighting the way before me, I felt both nervous and exhilarated. About 2 miles outside of Willard, I felt my foot pushing down on the accelerator, but I eased up because I didn't want to have an accident before getting there. I wondered if I would be meeting up with a ghost or with someone pretending to be a ghost. If it was a ghost, I wonder if I really could beat him at his own game, one in which he had nothing to lose. But then he did lose once in 1959. I had one last chance to change my mind, but as I looked up, I was approaching the turn just before Willard. As I turned the corner, I realized this was the first time in my life that I had gone looking for a fight. But then again, I didn't start this one. As I completed the corner, I looked up and I saw nothing. All this time, all this research, all this preparation for nothing. Then coming up, as if from nowhere, were headlights coming right at me. I heard him laughing and my resolve grew even stronger. I pushed down on the gas pedal and continued straight ahead. The headlights and the laughing grew closer and closer. Now we were within 30 feet of one another. I was beginning to lose my nerve. My knuckles were white from clasping onto the steering wheel so tightly. Then 15 feet, then 10, then... When my heart started beating again, I took stock of my situation. At the last second, I slammed on my brakes, and the car that was coming toward me turned sharply to the right, broke through the guardrail, and its taillights disappeared into the field that was overgrown with tall weeds. I was right in what I thought the first place. It was a real person, and not some ghost who had run me off the road. A minute went by, and I hadn't heard anyone stirring from the other car, so I thought I'd check to see if he needed some help. Leaving my car on the road, I got out and followed the skid marks through the freshly broken guardrail and into the field where the car had vanished. I looked down and saw the tire tracks and where the car should have come to a stop. There was nothing there. No other weeds had been disturbed. It had just disappeared into thin air.
Well, you certainly know how to tell a story, George. Is it true?
Cross my eyes and hope to spit.
No, I mean it. Did this really happen?
Yes, it really happened. But without a witness or a video camera, how can anyone prove or disprove any ghost story?
Some stories can be proven. You gave a great deal of detail in your story, so either you are a very thorough storyteller, or this really did happen.
Of course it really happened.
Then prove it.
How?
Take me to Willard, Ohio.
You want to go to Willard now?
Yes, right now. Unless, of course, you're chicken.
Madam, I take that statement as both a personal affront and as a challenge.
You can take it any way you want. as long as you take me with you.
You're kidding, right?
I've never been more serious.
Okay, let's go then. It's over here.
Shine your flashlight on it, George.
There you go.
Here lies the body of Robert Bateman. May he find the peace in death that he did not in life.
That's what I told you.
Born January 19th, 1940. Died June 15th, 1959.
What? How did that get there?
Oh, wait, that's not all. And March 23rd, 1982.
But that was the date that car drove off the road.
I guess it was also the date of Bobby's final game of chicken. There's one more place I need to see.
I know. A country kitchen.
No. I need to see room number 13 that you spent the night in.
Well, maybe 13 isn't such an unlucky number after all.
Program featured Joe Cleon as George McGravitt, Maureen Davis as Tricia Yarrow, Mel Hart as Officer Crenshaw, Josie Vecchio as Jenny, and David Binkley as Bobby Bateman. A Game of Chicken was written by David Binkley. Original music was written and performed by David Crawford. Music for WCRS Radio Stage was written by David Crawford and Tom Holman. WCRS Radio Stage is produced in Akron, Ohio by David Binkley and David Crawford. I'm your host, Joe Calley, asking you to join us the next time we open the curtain on WCRS Radio Stage.
Story.
Yeah, it is.
Something like that. Yeah, okay.
You could call it that.
You could.
I love
I
that
guess.
Story.
Dave 24/7, what does that mean? I don't know. Okay.
Well, is anyway. There something to be loined?
Be kind.
Erie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's Moral of the Story.
For a betting man, Russian roulette has far better odds than any game of chicken.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Actually, it's the one game if you are in the chicken, you win.
That's the thing. What if both of you are chicken and you both veer off, but you both veer off and decide you go in the same direction? Then it's a head-on collision anyway.
That's right really about the time you realize that maybe you made a bad choice.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe this wasn't a brilliant idea.
Someone's asking Dave if you know someone in Akron.
I've heard of Robert Keener, I believe, but I'm not aware of Polly.
Dave only knows Nutters and Butters. That's what we
Nutters
know,
and Butters and,
that's
and
all
peanut
we got.
Butter sandwiches. Nutters and Butters and peanut butter sandwiches. Yeah.
Nutter butter peanut butter sandwich cookie, please.
A la peanut butter sandwiches.
Oh, gosh, that was another one from way back, Gar. That's a good one.
Sesame Street. A la peanut butter sandwiches.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
And then kapoof, something happened. There's a magic wand. And the great Mumford, was it, maybe?
Yes.
Yes,
I believe that
was
it? The great Mumford.
It is I, the great Mumford. I love peanut butter sandwiches.
Yes.
That's my kind of guy.
Like really peeling back layers of time there. What, to the 60s or something?
Something
late
like 60s?
That. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Been a while.
Since those peanut butter sandwich cookies.
I love peanut butter sandwiches.
Crazy. Oh. proudly mispronounced.
Sometimes I just don't feel like I've had a complete education.
Sesame Street was amazing. I thought it was fantastic. However, I completely, because I didn't get it, it wasn't really pronounced, I completely missed it. I wasn't necessarily the demographic they were shooting for.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that till years later. I was like, what, really? That was supposed to be for inner city children? Really? Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I just
thought
of something.
I thought any kid could enjoy it, though. Honestly,
that was what I got out of it. Yeah.
Because we were a few years older, and actually, when it came out, I kind of watched some. Well, I love the Muppets, so you know, what can I say?
Yes. I was about to say that's the only reason I watched it is because it seemed like this is a kiddie show, but damn it, it's the Muppets.
But it's the Muppets,
yep.
And it was before the Muppets came out because it. They started like 67, 68.
They came out? I did not know.
When it was released.
Well, it was Bert and Ernie. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
a whole other made up. They're puppets. What are they talking about? But, I recall.
Puppets have
and
feelings
I have
too, Gar.
A very dim memory. Puppets have feelings too, do they?
That's right.
I have a very dim memory of being in an elementary school, having the lights go down and you had your morning snack, I guess it was, and they would wheel in a television on a media cart and turn it on, and you'd watch Sesame Street right there in the classroom.
That's because teachers were real busy.
Well, yeah, 68, 69, whatever.
Actually, they could have been back then because they had, 50 kids in a class?
Oh, at least 65,
Classes were big. Classes were big when I was a youth.
A ute? Yeah, I remember.
A ute. I was a ute.
A ute. You was a ute. I think we were all utes.
At one point or another.
Yes.
Seeing that good old Bob said, trying to sound like W.C. Fields, that reminded me, I hadn't thought of it for a while, but Mike Mace's dad, when I first met Mike, he was his dad's caretaker. And Mike Mace's dad, for some reason or other, always wanted to call me W.C. Fields. I took it as a compliment.
I'd give you a chance to raid the liquor cabinet and beat up on kids and dogs.
Wait, Dave.
Get away from me, kid.
Repeat that again. Mike's dad thought you were W.C. Fields?
No, he called me W.C. Fields. So.
Okay.
I took it as a compliment. Yeah.
Did
no,
you wear
he didn't
a top
think I was
hat at any
Fields.
Point in time?
I did not. I guess it was my big nose that did it. I don't know.
Okay.
Was it red in color at the time, Dave?
Could have been.
Field was always in black and white, right? We didn't know what color
it
was.
Well, sometimes. Depends what he was wearing. I mean, sometimes it was tails in black and white.
Yeah. There have been a few movies. Good old Bob made mention of teachers being very busy. They had cigarettes. Do you remember that there was a teacher's lounge where it's like the teachers were like, you know, about ready to pull their hair out from, you know, just teaching the class. And they'd all pile in that lounge. And every once in a while, if you're a kid.
Which had no ventilation in it, by the way.
No ventilation. So when they come out, it looks like, you know, they were doing more than just smoking cigarettes in there. But there was just this haze, this, you know, gray fog that was in there. And they'd come out.
Yeah. Los Angeles.
Have lent to a comedic twist on that.
I remember being called to go deliver to the teacher's
lounge,
and
I was
aghast.
What are you doing in there,
aghast.
Man? Yeah, you know, and there have been some period pieces on television, and they show the teachers, and they're all like smoking, and it's like, wow, okay. Because you never saw it.
Well, you know, and when I was at Louisville High School, when we got to high school, the smoking room was the kids were allowed to go in there to smoke too.
Yeah.
So,
ours were separate.
Yeah.
We never could.
Yeah. No. In our day, no. Their smoking was still verboten.
Oh no, we had a smoking area for it. It was weird because the smoking area was actually next to the track. It's like, there's this really healthy thing, and here are all these people, you know, right next to the side of it. yeah, very, very weird times. And now, you know, if you want to smoke and you have anything to do with school, you have to go out to the 8 mile marker out in the sea and
Do
it out there. Because, they've gotten rid of all that. Can't smoke on campus. I remember going back 10 years later, something like that, and gaining position with a school system. And myself and other teachers and stuff, we would walk off campus just to smoke and then have to run back, you know, because you didn't have too much time. It was kind of funny. We're all kind of huddled around smoking very quickly and then run back onto campus. Funny.
Yep. We got about 3 minutes left to tell you that we're going to have a little bit more reunion tomorrow with CBS
right.
Radio Mystery Theater and Fateful Reunion. That's at 6:30 Eastern. Now, right after
yep.
that show at 8 o'clock, there's nothing happening. Go to bed early.
Yeah, I would. I would, yeah.
Yeah,
get some ice cream, go to bed.
At 8 o'clock
what?
After our show, and that is...
Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul, and we'll be at sea doing stuff out there and speaking Spanish and, I don't know, probably smoking cigarettes. And it's going to be bad, people.
Indian cigarettes, no less.
Huh? You'll have
Indians.
To tune in. You have
yeah.
to put all that together. Those
yeah.
are clues
now,
and cues. Put it all together. It's a horror movie.
Tomorrow night's Mystery Theater. Some of you are going to absolutely love the ending, and some of you are going to absolutely hate it. I love it.
I haven't run across too many of the CBS Radio Mystery Theaters where they end like this one ends, because it's just unusual. So definitely
tune in. That's as much
in.
As we're going to tell you to make you want to tune in tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. No spoilers. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some more fun stuff coming up in the coming weeks here. We'll be haunting you, putting on a disappearing act, cats, stamps. And we're getting close, too, to Halloween season, and we're already beginning to scheme Halloween shows.
Yeah. I was getting ready to put together a graphic, and my graphics program, my art program died right when I was putting it together, so... I was like, oh, well, I'll have to come back to it. But I was thinking, you know what would just make a lot of sense would be like if retail outlets and advertising groups sat there and approached the advertising for the next few months, the next celebrations are all celebrations, like an advent calendar. You got 30 days. There you go. That's as long as an advent calendar usually lasts, you know, instead of starting in January to... You know, advertise for Halloween or whenever they're doing it. They're
hey, Christmas in July, everyone. Christmas
yeah,
in July.
Yeah, Christmas in July. Mm, yeah. Come
no.
get your ice cream and a Christmas tree. Okay, sure. Yeah.
There you go.
So bizarre.
We want to thank everyone for joining us live in the chat. Rob Smith, good old Bob CW. Thanks for joining us and contributing. In the little chat there. We'll be back tomorrow again at 6:30. And then don't forget, right after, at 8, it's Audible Horror starring Gary the Ghoul.
Yeah, that guy. Blah, blah.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him too.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Good night, cowboy.
Good night, Grandpa.
Good night, Grandma.
Good night, Susan.
Who's in my bed?
Yeah.
And why is it
don't
wet?
Know, but they got cold feet. Yeah.
And why is it wet? That was a running gag a lot in some of the old, Little Rascal comedies and things like that. Somebody would get in bed, they'd spill water, and they make this funny look like, of course, they suspected something else was making them wet.
I never caught that, but...
That was often a running gag, I think.
You know what? I watched, I don't know whose show it was, it was one of the, I knew that they were there, the silent R Gang films.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that one kid was just plain mean. That chunky kid.
Butch?
In the silence.
Butchie?
No, the kid
Butchie
in the silence. In the silence.
Who, Chubby?
Oh.
Is that who it was? Yeah, probably. Man, he was mean to the other kids. Always playing horrible practical jokes on them.
Yeah. Some of the kids are not, they were disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them, they were just kids.
Yeah.
They were just kids. Poor kids in a poor town, you know.
No, this is, it really is. Dale, you're going to love the ending tomorrow night in the Mystery Theater. You will.
Okay. So I won't be the one who dislikes it. I will be one of the ones who likes it.
Right.
Well, you know me pretty well. I have faith.
These are the kind of endings that most people don't like. I'm just going to leave it at that. Most people don't like it, but I love it. I love it. And I think you'll like it, too.
There's a lot of them that have the kind of ending that makes you go, I do like that type. So if that's anything like that, I feel I'm in good hands.
It'll definitely make you think. The ending will definitely make you think.
Well, that's a new start for me.
There you go.
Did any of you guys go to any of your high school reunions?
I did go to one. Yes.
Yeah,
I went to one.
I went to number 5, and that was it for me.
I went to number 10.
I went to 10.
Guard, did you go to 15? Come on. I hear 15.
No.
15.
10. I never thought of this until I heard this, the Aunt Effie saying about the family reunion, about how much planning it would take to coordinate getting X number of people, and it sounded like an upwards of 30 people in their circumstance, to get together, and where's everybody going to sleep, and who's going to cook, and where are they going to do this, and, you know, it was, if I was an adult and someone asked me to get involved with that, I'd go, I'll just pass. I don't think I'd get involved with that.
Here's why I don't like... And this may sound like, old school thought. Well, I'm an old school guy, but I don't like the opportunity of opening myself up to having more than one person of the female persuasion in the kitchen. That's just a battle waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. Wooden spoons at 10 paces and all that, right?
Yeah, it's just not going to end well for anyone, especially me. So
okay.
I prefer to avoid that altogether. Thank you very much.
I mean, it would be, if you only have one kitchen that you're going to work out of, it would not work at all. One of the things they said in that little couple next door was, everybody's going to bring their own special dish that they make that they're good at making. Like, I can only make one thing, you know, and it's okay.
Haggis.
Haggis?
Haggis.
Haggis?
That's what I'm bringing, haggis.
Haggis. Now, I've
haggis.
Had haggis. I've had it before.
You
I
have
think
had
it's
haggis?
Illegal.
You have actually had haggis?
Yes, I had. And I thought it was amazing. I loved it. And then someone told me what it was, and I was still, well,
isn't
it tastes good.
Isn't that raccoon?
No.
No, it's something.
Sheep intestines.
It's some type of
sheep intestines
put inside of more intestines and then cooked up and then minced and then put into some type of a breading and then there
and
you
somebody
go.
Somebody throws up on it. It's a long process.
Yeah. You know, you got to drag it through, you know, a cow field, you know, and yeah, it's like, okay.
Or a cow even.
Or a
as
cow.
Long as
I
don't know. I'm busy looking out for those flying mooses.
Yeah, flying mooses.
I believe haggis is not legal to have.
It's not legal.
Yeah,
no, and I don't know how we ended up with it, but we had an international Boy Scouts food festival, so you had foods from all over the world, and they were there.
Well, if it was long ago enough, the law might have been different back then.
Well, it was, more than 20 years ago.
So that's possible.
So it could be, yeah. It was a whole nother lifetime, which has nothing to do with my employment, I promise, but,
you want to work here? Eat haggis.
Yeah. No, like Dave came up with, Dave came up with the code breaker on, and I used to work at, and I used to, Gar, you've been fired a lot, haven't you?
No,
that's
not exactly how it happened, as you recall.
I can't even remember what
you said something, and Dale said, Gar, isn't anything that you haven't done? And I said, what, like hold a job?
there you go.
And we had the longest Dale laugh in the history of Erie House Radio at that point.
It was perfect. It was perfect. And it was honest, too. It was right there, you know. And it was good.
I laughed so
good.
Hard I nearly peed.
I laughed. I didn't get that close. But, yeah, it was like, you know.
And then Gar got on there saying something about somebody. You know, and somebody was saying that I couldn't hold a job, and I chimed that it wasn't me. And Gar looked at the screen and said, yes, it was you.
Yes, it was you. Who else would it have been? Yes. I never put 2 and 7 together on that. But
It's all in fun, brother. It's all in fun.
I know it is. I know. nothing but. That's all we're here for is the fun. And, you know, and if we can't take the ribbon, we need to get out of the kitchen. You know.
Actually,
fun
is supposed to be mandatory, isn't it?
Yeah. It's rule number one. Have fun.
Yeah, mandatory
rule
fun.
Number two is those weird shoes we have to wear.
Gosh. Yeah, the clown shoes. I know.
Yeah, that's some rough stuff. But, you know, in it to win it. Hey, what did you guys think about this? And this is so sidebar from reunions, but I ran across this weird image of this lady with glow-in-the-dark eyes. Hey, lady, with glow-in-the-dark eyes. She's from some soap opera or something. And the soap opera went into this avenue of storytelling where she got possessed. So it's like a soap opera that went into the supernatural, but it was not Dark Shadows. It was like Days of Our Lives or something. Did you guys...
Somebody
I saw your picture
about that, didn't they, Gar?
I saw your picture about with that Gar, but
yeah,
I
darkened. I took the image, I darkened it a little bit, and then I put made her eyes. What do you call it? The sparkle a little bit more, or something. You know, just to make it look weirder. But yeah, she was wearing white contacts, and she was like, you know, possessed. And there was a twin sister involved. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just.
Oh, that's always good when there's a twin sister involved.
Yeah. So you would think, but No, it's just weird because they followed a storyline of ghosts and vampires and possession in a soap opera. Now, my question is, how do they get back to the normal, he's cheating on her with him and they're cheating on them with them and they're going to break up and they're getting together, and, you know, the soap opera stuff.
I have an easy answer to that. As soon as the ratings say, change now.
Right. Well,
viewers.
What I did was I said, what do they do? Is it like Chicken Man? It was all a bad dream. It was all a bad dream. You know, that
it was all a bad dream, yes.
It was all a bad dream, you know, and then they wake up from a coma. You know, because they have that thing where they put a character into a coma for 6 months, you know.
I think they used that on Married with Children, on that little kid,
yes.
Number, what was it, 7, I think his name was, 7?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they decided that wasn't working, so they pulled the old, it was all a bad dream.
It was all a bad dream, that's right. I love that. I meant to get that to you guys, the Chicken Man, it was all a bad dream.
Oh, yeah, we
did
that.
On the shores of Gitche Guma, it was all a bad dream. so bizarre. But, yeah, no, some people actually chimed in about that going, I remember this, that, and the other. And
wouldn't that
like,
be
okay.
fun? Wouldn't that be fun at your funeral?
What,
to have that playing
in the
coffin? Yeah, just
yeah,
have
oh,
that playing in the casket.
Dream.
It was all a bad dream.
Yeah, just over and over again. Everybody that stops by, it was all a bad dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I'm in a coma. And
yeah. Creepy. I would love to creep people out at my funeral.
I can't remember. There was something funny.
Or make them laugh.
Like you could. There's someone that says that you can pay them to attend your funeral and they're dressed a certain way. I don't know if it's like as a happy clown or as like, you know, a zombie or something. I don't know.
Zombie would be great.
I don't know what you know. What would be funny to brighten up a funeral?
A woman
dressed up like a little Bo Peep with the hook and everything, and maybe a few sheep. You know, that would be funny. You know, have a few meh. You know, the whole. I don't know.
Have sheep for other things too, but Oh,
jeez. Anyway.
Yeah, anyhow.
Anyway, it was all a bad dream. There was. Someone was talking. Secret identical twin.
Secret identical twin?
Yeah, like they had
how
a twin and you didn't know it. Or you just don't tell anybody about it. I don't know.
What do you do? Yeah. Throw one away, or what?
You keep them in the closet? I don't know. I don't know these things. Someone said, remember she was all possessed and stuff. Yeah, that was so wild. So anyway, did you switch those medical test results to make your secret identical twin look guilty, since the body was never? I don't know where that's going, but okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw that they actually did this. They actually did a supernatural twist on a regular type soap opera where this woman becomes possessed by, I don't know what, but it made her eyes glow. it's just so bizarre. Well, no, it's like an exorcist twist, you know, on a regular.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you're watching.
I would have to say that
had,
I'll bet that happened around the 70s because monsters were coming around again. You know, horror was going strong. You had the Addams Family, the monsters in the 60s, and Famous Monsters magazine was going out like crazy.
One of the most successful possession films came out, which would have been The Exorcist.
Yep.
And so right around there,
too.
You know.
Yeah, it was mid-70s, yeah.
I never put two and four together on this, not being exemplary in math at the time, but
nor now.
Well, much better now than I was. But then again,
I'm
I've
kidding.
Forgotten so much. But yeah, my parents said, okay, this is HBO, and you know, we're going to allow you to watch some things, but not all things. But, you know, so, and I was like 14 years old. And one of the things my mom said is like, you can watch this film, but remember, we have an attic. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? We have an attic. And I watched The Exorcist because at the end of it, like the demon or whatever, like rises up into the attic of the thing there, and there's like lights, and you see the silhouette of the demon or whatever. And so that was supposed to freak me out, but I couldn't figure it out, so it didn't. I just made me more confused, you know. I was like,
yeah. What is that?
Okay.
What is that thing?
Yeah, I don't, you know. Remember, we have an attic, and I guess that was supposed to make my, you know, freak me out. I didn't understand it, so it didn't.
Maybe it was a threat. Remember, we have an attic.
Yeah. We're going to put you in the attic. I don't know. You know. In fact, as long as I lived in that house, I never went in the attic because it wasn't like a – I don't even remember where you get into. I never went up there. There was nothing up there. It was just the attic. But, you know, it wasn't like a walk-up attic or anything like that. It was just
– Oh, I missed my walk-up attic in my old house. That was cool. It was like your old-fashioned walk-up attic.
Well, see, nice. I wouldn't mind having a walk-up attic, and I also wouldn't mind having a walk-down basement. I've never had those. Here in Florida, you just get the one level for the most part. You know.
I got the basement. That's where my hiney is planted right now. See?
Yeah.
You keep your hiney out of this.
Yeah. Well, there's a new TV series that I sent Dave a copy of it. What's it called, Dave? The new
Chapelweight. Chapelweight.
And
they go down
into the basement and do stuff. I don't know what's going on down there.
That's Stephen King, isn't it?
Yes. It's new. I think they're up to episode 3.
I believe one of my Roku channels has a free preview of it. I'm going to take a look at it.
Well, yeah. I think we're up to episode 3 that they've released so far.
Yep.
I haven't watched them, but I know I've had.
I'm gonna have to catch up.
Yeah, there you go. Chew. So, yeah.
They're on 3.
Yeah, I thought making an advent calendar. Just examples of one would be a back to school advent calendar, and then it's back to school, Halloween, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is actually overlooked now. You just bypass it. It's not even recognized in stores anymore.
No, because by the time you get through Halloween, it's time
Christmas.
To put Christmas stuff up.
Yeah. And it's like, wait a second. We have like a little Thanksgiving thing going on here. You know, don't skip this for that. But they do. You know, I was actually in a department store, probably a Walmart, maybe. I can't remember what it was. And I was, even though I am generations removed from this, I was excited to see back-to-school stuff. Like, you know, it was like, oh, look, they're actually advertising back-to-school. That's cool. You know, I remember when, you know. And so that was kind of neat. And then... You know, months later, it would be. So they should be. So, like, school started September 6th. So, you know, August up to that point. No, it's August now, and school is back in session.
Right. School's back in.
Yes.
I read somewhere that school started September 9th. Maybe it's August 9th.
It depends on your area, too. Different parts of the country, and even within your own state, there's different.
Right.
Right, because it's all controlled by a local school board, unlike some governors. Yeah,
exactly. Well, back when you and I went to school, we had the, you know, you get 3 months off during the summer.
Yeah.
So you would get June, July, August, and then towards the end of August, back to school, sales would start, and then September, the first week of September, you were back in school. But we had that law. And then, since then, they've made 12-month school schedules and all this, and it's so different.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was neat to go into that one store and go, oh, wow, look, back to school. It even says it on the signage and everything. And then after that would have been the time when, after that sale was done, then the next one would have been the Ben Cooper Halloween costumes would have been out.
Yes.
And, yeah, all them boxes, yeah.
Ben Cooper masks, yay.
Oh, Ben Cooper costumes, Ben Cooper masks, you know, it's just,
yep.
Yeah. I have some of those that I show off on Horrible Horror that I'm not going to pull out until the end of September. I'll pull. I have some. Some are called the Hairy and Scary, where Ben Cooper incorporated some type of a frilly costume wig with the mask, and they glued it or stapled it onto the mask.
Glued
so you had
onto
a gorilla.
The kid's head.
Yeah. Well, you staple it onto the kid's head, you know.
Oh, that's right. Staples.
That's right. Staples. Staples and duct tape. Wow. Remember the days. And actually, Ben Cooper is now, they're back in a business. There is a Ben Cooper in name and business back as a viable entity again. Because it went away for a while.
Yeah.
But I do have some of those costumes.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing
almost
and
like
dance.
A song.
Yeah.
Forever
and sing. Yeah.
We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose.
Are you going to segue into St. Elmo's fire here?
Yeah. No.
I don't know that one.
I know it, and I can't sing, and I know it, so let's leave it at that.
I don't know it.
Oh, I can't sing for crap. I can't hold a note.
Hmm. Oh, there's some lady who, I've used this in a breaking news segment on Horrible Horror, where there's someone who is in a beauty contest, and apparently her friends told her and supported her and said, oh, you need to do singing for your talent. And the woman cannot hit a note. She might get close, and as soon as she does, she goes flat. And it's just horrible. And she sings a whole song, and she tries to get feisty and everything, and she just can't hit a note. It's so bad.
That sounds
so bad.
Like me. That sounds just
yeah.
like me. Oh, it's horrible. Although one time, just for the heck of it, I have no idea why, I sang Climb Every Mountain, just like the nun from Sound of Music, Mother
oh,
Superior.
I was going to say Deliverance,
song.
But yeah.
Well, that too.
Deliverance.
The remake was in Deliverance.
The
yeah.
musical. You know, they took it on Broadway. It
was
Deliverance, the musical. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
It's the only musical I've ever heard of that had a pig in it. Oh boy. All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna cut out of here, and I will run across you guys on the other side.
Well, it looks like then we need to bring in the one, the only, Mr. Jimmy Durante. A big hand, everybody.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Lots of fun.
Good night. It's always fun.
It's always fun.
And to say good night.
Maybe I'll get a job.
Good night. What for this say but good night? We've had a few laughs.
So long.
And it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the dead. And ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Good night.